This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Unwired LA. We're about to speak to Jim Allison, who's the senior planner with the CCJPA, which is the Capital Corridor Joint Powers Agreement. Welcome to Unwired LA.
Thank you.
You work for Amtrak?
No, actually. I work for the Capital Corridor Joint Powers Authority.
Oh, okay.
And that's a loose, well, it's not a loose collection. It's an agreement at the state level for different counties in our service area to work together to provide the administration for the Capital Corridor train service.
Okay, so which areas in particular, which counties or cities or what area is covered by the CCJPA?
Basically, it's from the California foothills and the Sierras, namely Auburn,
right,
through Sacramento, through the Delta into the East Bay, Oakland, and then south to San Jose, Silicon Valley area.
Oh, so that's a pretty big area.
Yeah, it's 170 miles.
Okay. And what role does Amtrak play in that?
Amtrak,
or what's its relationship to the CCJPA?
Okay. The CCJPA contracts with Amtrak to provide the service. So that's where sort of the brand awareness is, that Amtrak is the entity that people see out there on, you know, rolling along.
So you're the government entity representing a coordinated alliance of these several of many jurisdictions.
Yes, exactly.
And then you make a contract with Amtrak to provide rail service within your area.
Mm-hmm.
How long has this been going on?
Well, the state started it in the early 90s, and then the CCJPA took over management in October of 1998.
Okay, you want to say something about the number of passengers that you transport around that area?
Sure, yeah, it's been growing ever since we took it over. We've increased service over the time, and we've had a 200% increase in ridership in the 6 years we've operated it, and now we're operating at about 1.4 million passengers per year.
Okay, that's trips, or this, or 1.4 million people use it regularly, or how do you calculate that?
It's basically trips. It's so a lot of those are repeat riders, are regular riders,
right?
And we calculate a person trip is, you know, every time somebody travels
right
in one direction, that's a trip.
And what are some of the major endpoints of travel that take place in this JPA area?
Okay, most of it is from Sacramento,
right,
and Davis, heading towards the Bay Area. Oakland and Emeryville are big destinations. Emeryville is a connection where they can get on the bus to San Francisco.
Right,
they can also connect with the Bay Area Rapid Transit System, or BART,
right,
in Richmond, and get on BART and go into San Francisco and other destinations that BART takes you. And then there's certainly the Silicon Valley area. The Great America Station has a lot of connections to the businesses there that work in the computer industry, and in San Jose.
Okay, and then a little more demographically, is this mainly people commuting to and from work?
About 50% of our ridership are regular business travelers,
right,
and it's people who do make that commute, usually 2 to 3 days a week,
right,
and other days they can work at home.
And which way are they going?
Predominantly they're heading towards the Bay Area, although it's probably about a 60-40 split, maybe a little bit more than that.
So this is partially a function of the real estate expense gradient, isn't it?
People exactly.
People work closer to the Silicon Valley, and they can't live there, so they have to live further out and go back and forth.
You bet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what you just said, the people who do this often do it only 2 or 3 times a week because they spend a lot of time telecommuting, presumably.
Yes, they do, exactly.
Okay, so those are people who are already primed to work on their computers.
Mm-hmm.
How much can they now work on their computers while they're transiting in your system?
Well, they can work on what's resident on their laptops or PDAs or whatever they're on the train right now.
Right.
However, there is one wireless internet car that's on our system, that's in our whole system of train sets.
Right.
And they can log on and use the internet. At this point in time, it's free, and they can use that at that time to, you know, do various aspects, emails, and sometimes even VPN connections.
Right. No, I wasn't sure. I didn't understand that. You said it's available everywhere, but only in one car. I didn't follow that. You mean
yeah,
one car in each train?
Yeah.
I guess I need some more railroading terminology. What do you call a bunch of cars all together going around? What's that called? A set?
That's called a train set.
A train set, okay.
And we have 7 train sets that provide the service.
Right.
And on one of those seven train sets, there is one car
right.
that's outfitted with wireless internet at this time.
What's up with the other ones?
The other ones don't have it on it right now. We're in the middle of a trial
right.
period, kind of a technology trial period that's been going on, thankfully, over a year.
Right.
Why not? You know, plus or minus on that, but
right.
it's been going on for over a year, and people have been able to use the internet thanks to PointShot Wireless for this year.
Okay, who are they? I guess I want to talk to them too. They're called PointShot.
PointShot Wireless.
And did you contract with them to provide this service?
No, actually, this was a mutually agreed upon free trial,
right.
Where we don't exchange any funds or anything between ourselves. PointShot Wireless is a company out of Canada,
right?
And out of Ottawa, Canada, and they contacted us a little over a year and a half ago,
right?
To approach us about using our trains as a kind of a trial system,
right?
Because we do have a good market for wireless internet use. We have the right kind of riders.
It is Silicon Valley and environs there. Is there much of this in Canada already done by PointShot or other people?
PointShot's partnering with a lot of different entities around the world.
Right.
You probably want to talk with them
right,
about
do.
It. But they're working with different train entities and telecommunication type companies
right.
in Europe and also in Canada.
Okay.
And they're working with us and Altamont Commuter Express in the California in the Silicon Valley sort of these two train companies that. Enter the Silicon Valley area.
Now that's called Ultimate Commuter Express.
Altamont.
I'm sorry.
Altamont.
Oh, Altamont.
Yeah.
Like the place where they had that concert. Isn't it?
Exactly. The Rolling Stones.
Yes, the Rolling Stones. Altamont Commuter Express, and
yeah.
that's a private company that contracts with Amtrak and you, or who are they exactly?
Altamont Commuter Express is a commuter agency. It's formed with the San Joaquin Valley Rail Commission, and they provide. It's another government entity that it's basically like a transit service, except it provides rail service, commuter rail service from the Central Valley, Stockton area
right.
into Silicon Valley.
Okay. Now, so what if I understand it properly, you've got seven train sets. One of them has one car that does wireless now,
mm-hmm.
and it's free to people who want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that car totally overcrowded? Are people jamming to get in, or it's empty, or what's happening with that? How popular is the service?
It's fairly popular right now because it's only on that one train.
Right.
And
which train is that? Where does that go from and to?
I'll explain that. That one train, people have to hunt it down.
Right. It sort of circulates.
It circulates into all of our different train numbers.
But they can look at... in other words, the same physical machines get named different things depending on what day it is or where they're going?
Yeah. It's one train set, and if it's at one station at a certain time, it's going to leave as train number
right.
527, and then at another station,
right.
it flips around, it's another train. So
like flights with airplanes. That are
yeah, exactly.
Serial
it's
numbers
very
and
similar.
Flight numbers. People can look it up on the internet to find out where it's going to be?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what we try to do is maintain our web page.
What's that URL?
It's www.capitalcorridor.org.
Okay, that's C-A-P-I-T-A-L. O-L?
O-L.
O-L. Corridor. C-O-R-D-D-E-R dot.
O-R-G.
O-R-G, okay. We'll put a link to that on this page as well.
Great.
So
people can see where the train is going to be,
right.
and usually they've made a decision that they're going to travel on a particular train. So if it's convenient for them and it's the right sort of market,
right.
we can get a lot of people using the train, using that car, that train.
Right.
And PointShot right now caps the limit of usage at 20 people,
right.
and we're hitting that fairly often. In the right circumstance. During
right.
the middle of the day, we don't hit that.
Right.
By any
right.
Means.
Now, more complete filling of that car on certain routes than others?
Definitely, yeah.
Which ones are the best?
The morning and evening commutes.
Right. No, I mean, which sets of destination points?
Oh, trains pretty much run across the entire... They always run between Sacramento and Oakland.
Right.
And four of our round trips do go to San Jose.
Right.
So our best served market would be the San Jose to Sacramento run.
Right.
And that's when we'll get the most of our users.
Right.
So typically, train 5:23 in the morning takes people down, and it doesn't work like this, but if it was also on train 5:44
right.
coming back, that would probably be a peak day.
Okay. Now, I'm going to get more information about this from the company that actually does it, but what could you say in general or in detail, as much detail as you want, about how it actually works? What is it that's on that car? And then in particular, how do you get your backhaul while you're moving 60 miles an hour?
Okay. On the car is a Wi-Fi hotspot,
802.11. Right.
And people will log in like they're in, you know, any coffee house.
Right. Do they have to sign up for a special account or anything, or how does
they
that
just
done?
Have to log in.
Right.
And so it's much like that. There's no fees or anything.
So as long as they have their they have a card in their laptop or they have their PDA that's 802.11
compliant
B.
Yeah.
Compatible, then they just turn it on and it looks around for any hotspots and it finds that it's in one.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay.
So then on the backhaul, it's a combination of cellular and satellite.
Okay.
And it will make the decisions to, you know, switch just like from the cellular connections
right.
along the route, and it will utilize satellite as well to do the downlink.
So essentially in the same way that the laptops in the car look around to see where they can connect, that the car itself looks around to see where it can connect,
mm-hmm.
and if there's a cellular a spot, it connects there, and if there isn't, it'll go to a satellite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
That sounds pretty good. Do you have any success stories about happy commuters who are, say that they've actually started taking the train so they can use this service?
Yeah, some of them have. We have a connection on that web page I mentioned
right.
where people can write in their comments.
Right.
And you'll see a number of them that talk about how they use it, what they like about it, what they wish would change about it, and a lot of what they're wishing would change would be that there would be more of them, and that's
right.
that's our next phase that we're working on.
Okay. Now, do you envision that this will be locales ranging from Starbucks to Philadelphia have said we're going to attract people to our store or our city by providing free Wi-Fi access.
Mm-hmm.
Now, talk about how that analogizes over into attracting people into mass transit by making mass transit vehicles hotspots in the same way.
Well, we're actually very oriented in that direction. We are really closely associated with Caltrans and the state. We get our funding from them, and the state has two other inner-city lines.
Right.
In one, the Pacific Surfliner in Southern California.
Right.
And then the San Joaquin service.
Right.
In addition, we have, because we're all buddies in the
right.
rail industry, we have
right.
Interest in the different other commuter agencies. Metrolink is one of those.
Right.
And we're all sort of talking together and trying to work out a plan where we might be able to put service throughout the state of California for the different rail agencies in a kind of a master bid process.
Exactly. I it seems to me that if you get someone with a digital camera and a laptop and they can travel from Mexico to Oregon, staying on public transportation and staying hooked up to Wi-Fi the whole time.
It may eventually be possible. I mean, it would also take some adoption if Amtrak's long-distance services were going to do that, but that right. could be a possibility in the not-too-distant future.
Okay, like the guy who was stuck on the MTA in Boston who kept going around, someone would just stay on the Amtrak and use free service all the time.
Except yeah.
Of course, they have to pay for it to get on the train.
Mm-hmm.
Does it look now at this point whether it's going to be something you're going to charge for or use as an incentive to get more people to travel and build it into the price, or what?
Well, we're evaluating that. We're about to move into a next phase with commercial trials.
Right.
And
what's that going to involve?
That's going to involve three kind of different teams or groups of companies
right.
that are going to be trialing on our system.
Right.
So this is the next phase that should be coming around.
Can you say who they are? They're still in the
I better not.
Okay. All right. When's that going to happen?
That's going to be happening in December and January.
Right.
We're going to be rolling that out on our train so that we'll hopefully be able to cover all seven of our train sets.
Okay.
So then that will become more of a true test that every day you'll have the opportunity to, whatever train you're on, you can connect to the Internet. During these trials, they're going to have charges applied to them.
Right. Do you have some idea what the range of those charges will be per minute? Or
yeah, they're going to be. They're going to. At this point in time, I mean, that's one of the things we're testing.
Right.
They're going to be around, you know, anywhere from maybe up to like the $9 range for day use.
Right.
And they would go down from that, and they may be down to a per use charge, potentially down to $2. But we're really letting the companies that are involved in this next step set those marks.
And presumably if you've got three companies, they can do different pricing structures and see which works best.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
And would there be like something like a monthly pass as well, or that's something that would be up to them also?
That would be up to them, but given the situation with, because you wouldn't know that you're always going to get on Company A's train.
Right.
You would, it might be a little discouraging to get a monthly pass and then, you know, only be on that train two or 3 days out of the week.
Right. What kind of speeds are we talking about, both in the current implementation and in this new wider rollout?
Well, the speeds will vary. We're also testing some different technology applications as well as the commercial applications. The speeds right now are, it's somewhat managed when you're on the train. They compress and cache some information. So the experience is, I would say, better than with a 56K modem for sure.
Right.
But it is not certainly as fast as a DSL.
Now, what's keeping it from being a DSL level or broadband? Technically or administratively?
I think at this point it's money and physics, and that relates to the cellular speeds at this time. If they go with the next generation, that can offer a whole different range of opportunities, and I think they're like 1X EVDO or WiMAX are two different technologies, but those might be able to work in the next phase of technology together to provide faster service.
So the weak link isn't within the train car, it's between the train and the network?
Yeah, it's backhaul.
It's backhaul. And WiMAX, which has a range of, say, 30 miles at broadband speeds, could provide is something that would help this out a lot, right?
Yeah, there's kind of two theories. One is you go with a land-based application and you sort of wire a chunk of air, which is the chunk of air over the tracks.
Right.
And the other thought is to enable the train to be powered itself, and it creates its own moving base network. So either one of the two or a combination of the two I could see as being viable in a passenger train service application. It just kind of depends on varying things such as density and availability of connections to landlines or what have you along that.
Now, I'm a little behind the curve here on how trains are powered these days. Do they burn stuff or use electricity?
They can do both. Ours burn diesel fuel.
Right.
And there are some that will be electric, and you'll see the catenary above, and you'll know that that's the electric.
The catenary is the wires over there.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, someone I was talking to a few days ago mentioned broadband over power lines, BPL. Now, I'm wondering either to what extent power lines parallel railroad tracks and might in some sense be able to connect network somehow out of the power lines or the towers into the trains, or whether those trains could use the catenaries that hook up the engines to the electricity to actually send the signals through that the same electric circuits that send the power to the train and tie the internet connection in the train off of that power source.
Mm-hmm. That could very well be a possibility. I haven't heard of that application.
I just made it up just now. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that could be a possibility. There's also a lot of the train property owners have fiber optic sitting right there.
Right. So would it be possible then to sort of pop up little antenna out of the fiber optic and make it available to the train? Or are there problems involving sending signals to speeding objects? Or cell phones and cars work pretty well, I guess. Mm-hmm. So.
There don't at those speeds, there don't seem to be that many problems. At least that we haven't tested those kind of things. But I've been involved in discussions with people. It doesn't seem like the speed is going to be a problem.
Okay.
Frankly, our biggest problem right now is the more on the business model side of things and the who's going to take and how was the first step taken.
How about putting big screens at the for people who don't have any work to do or don't want to do any work, putting big screens at the end of each car and either taking a poll or offering it to people on a take-it-or-leave-it basis, lots of videos and DVDs that can come in over the Internet to those screens and collect money for extra money for that for those cars or something.
Yeah, well, one of the trial providers that we're working with in this next phase is has strong connections with kind of Internet Wi-Fi-based and delivered TV.
Right.
And so we would be thinking about something like that. If we were doing something in a car itself,
right.
We probably wouldn't go with a solution that would necessarily involve kind of like on a plane where you're sort of enforced to
right.
see this thing.
Right.
We might be able to send some messages or public messages or provide some generic things over the line there, but a lot of people like to sleep on the train, so
okay.
we kind of leave, I think, in, at least in our model, we'd
right.
like to leave the choice up to the user who has the device.
In fact, if you installed thin screens on the back of the seats and then let people order one of any number of 1,000 different videos to watch just in their own seat and plug in a little headset and so on, then you could charge them for that or entice them in further with that.
Yeah, I mean, those are all possibilities at this, but at this point, right now, it's that would be another expense and
right.
a step that we wouldn't, you know, we'd have to go back and modify the seats, but it's a possibility,
right.
but
okay.
I think we're going to try to go with let people bring their own media.
Bring their own screens, essentially. Is there, on the upside, a danger here that with so much ability to work and watch movies and have all this kind of, and talk over voice over IP to people all over the world for almost nothing, that trains will become so attractive you have to buy more cars and schedule more runs?
We'd love that to be a problem, I think. We'd have to see what happens there. But I think part of this is what we're trying to do is give people a better alternative than driving.
Right.
Or at least a different choice than
right.
driving.
The point, yeah, I interviewed Morley Winograd yesterday, who's the chair of the broadband executive panel that the mayor's office has set up here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the immediate impetus for this conversation we're having right now, because he mentioned that exactly this, that people spend 2 hours, 4 hours a day dead time in Los Angeles, at least, commuting in their cars when they can't do anything. But if they were in a train and it had wireless access, they could get a lot of work done, and they could therefore spend less time at work and actually, he said, get home to see their families occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, as we sort of wrap up here, whether that's part of the vision that's inspiring what you're doing there.
Yeah, without question. We're trying to do whatever we can to make the train trip a little more attractive as a choice.
Right.
And I think it's one of the things we're looking at is essentially put people in the seats. We do have some
right.
available seat capacity,
right.
and we'd love to be in a situation where we need to add more trains. We know that we need to add more trains anyway because the market's out there for our service.
Right.
But this is just the other piece to get them to switch from their car, and
right.
it just gives people and the citizens of California a better choice, and that's going to lead to quality of life issues.
Okay. Well, we can all hope so. Thank you very much for talking to us, and ideally people will be able to listen to this soon or tomorrow on their Internet connection as they're traveling through the scenic valleys and hills of California.
That would be great.
Thanks very
Thank
much.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.